resurrection song, to live the resurrection life. Amen? What a joy it is. Christ is risen, and we likewise are risen to new life. Hallelujah. Life eternal. Hallelujah. This is big. This is bigger than big. This is enormous. This is the best thing that will ever happen in your life. That's the best day. Hallelujah. Easter. Easter is the best. Christmas is good, but Easter's the best. If Jesus was just born in a manger of a virgin, well, praise God for that. But I am not redeemed by a baby. And if he lived a sinless life, well, of course he did. He's God. He's fully man and fully God, and you can never sort that out. But he is that. And he did miracle upon miracle upon miracle. I'm so glad he healed blind Bartimaeus. Old blind Bart got healed. Hallelujah. I'm so glad he raised Lazarus. But I'm not saved because of Lazarus' healing or being risen from the dead. I'm not saved from sin and death because of Bart being healed of blindness. That's not it either. But thank God for that. It's great and glorious, and it's the love of Christ that was revealed throughout his life. Hallelujah. And even Good Friday, I am not saved by Christ dying. Many a man has died for a good cause. Christ, the greatest and most wonderful thing, he died for all of us. Hallelujah. Amen? What a glorious day. Good Friday is a great Friday. It's a really great Friday. Do you have that little cartoon, that comic strip? Did you guys find that? I sent it. Yes? That's not funny. That's glorious. No, it was... then it didn't come. Well, praise God. The question's often asked, what's so good about Good Friday? Well, what is so good about Good Friday? Jesus died. Well, I found a comic strip that said exactly this. If you were to be condemned to death, and you were to be nailed to a tree, and somebody took your place, that would be a good day, wouldn't it, for you? That'd be a good day for you. Yeah, that would be Good Friday. But that's not it either. I mean, that's when my sin was nailed to the cross. And we read that in Scripture. Our sin is nailed to the cross. And yeah, we've done a little thing here before. We came to the cross. We wrote our sin, maybe even our names down, and we nailed it to the cross. And that's something. But get this. Our sin wasn't so much nailed to the cross. Our Savior was nailed to the cross, and he carried upon himself our sin. That's more so. And then when we acted that out, striking those nails into the cross with our sin, in my mind, I was nailing Christ to the cross. You see, the Jews did not nail Jesus to the cross. The Romans did not nail Jesus to the cross. All of mankind did. And you and I did. Each one of us did. But even that does not save me. It's the Easter Sunday. It's the resurrection. Amen? It's the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. That is what brings about my salvation in full. When Jesus died, he took my sin to the grave. But when Jesus rose, we arose with him to new life, to salvation, to redemption. Wonderful, wonderful thing. That is the full story of Easter. I want to read from John 11, 25, 26. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus speaks this. This is mid-ministry, if you will. Jesus said in John 11, 25, and you know these words. You've heard these words. We have lived these words. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Amen, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. You must have the King James. Oh, yes. And it ends this way. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Jesus said, I am the resurrection of life. He didn't say, I am the dead Savior that went to the grave. He says, I'm the resurrection. I'm a living Savior. Oh, overcoming sin and death. Thus we overcome sin and death. Hallelujah. By all means, Easter Sunday is all about Good Friday. It really is. You can't have one without the other. In fact, to look at Easter Sunday, to look at our salvation, we must look at it through the cross. We must have the cross in mind. We have to see Christ crucified. But then we also see an empty tomb. Hallelujah. And we see a risen Savior. Glorious, glorious Savior. I also want to read from Luke 24. It's easy to find. Luke 24, just skip back a bit from John, and there it is, Luke 24. We had some dear ladies reenact this on Friday night and Palm Sunday evening. 24 of Luke. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. He is risen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to stop here, pray. Lord God, I want so much to handle your word rightly. We would see Easter through Good Friday. And we see Good Friday through Easter. These two are hand in hand. It is a story that begins long before we were here to talk about it. We thank you, God. The story of your love is a story of justice, mercy, and grace. Pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You agree with me. There is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. There is no resurrection without the cross. Jesus said in a parable, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces many. Jesus was speaking a parable. And he lived the parable. The seed must die that it would bear much fruit, that it would produce. Jesus is a living parable in this situation. There is no Easter without Good Friday. Good Friday provides us the opportunity to proclaim, once you've been to the cross, everything changes. Stumbling blocks and foolishness turn into power and wisdom. The cross changes everything. Whatever you were bound by, whatever pursued you, whatever restrained you, it changes. Everything changes for you at the cross. And if nothing changes, then maybe you have not really been to the cross. Easter is about the empty tomb, but first it's about the cross. It was the road for Jesus. It's the road for us. Paul writes, for the word of the cross is folly for those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. the cross had to be. There was no other way. If there was another way, God would have gone another way. It was His perfect plan. It fit absolutely. It was not plan B. It was not correcting an error in God's creation. It was God's plan. It was God's purpose. God wrote this story, and then He lived it. We celebrate Good Friday as it marks the day our Savior willingly went to the cross for our sins. Good Friday, Great Friday. Jesus suffered and died for you and me. He paid the penalty for our sins so that we no longer carry the judgment of sin and death. What a thing. It is a Good Friday. Franklin Graham wrote, "We must not forget that it wasn't the Jews that put Him on the cross. It was my sin. It was your sin. It was the sin of the world." Just as I said, there is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday, and there is no resurrection without the cross. But without Easter Sunday, Good Friday is not good at all. The cross is of no value without the resurrection. Again, Paul writes, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless also." It is not enough that Jesus died for us. It is that Jesus rose from the grave. Please don't get me wrong, that Jesus could not do enough. He did it. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Hallelujah. This is what Christ our Lord did. And so we celebrate the resurrection. For we serve a risen Savior. We serve God. So they asked the ladies as they approached the tomb, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" The living one. He has risen. He has risen. As we sang our resurrection song, that is our new song. That is a wonderful song. And every one of us who has come to know Christ as Lord sings the resurrection song. But to those who are perishing, that would be foolishness. What a silly song that would be. But for us, it is the most important song we can sing. Jesus Christ is more than Savior. He is more than Lord and Master. He is more than perfection in human form. He is everything. Everything humankind needs. The beloved Apostle John wrote, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world." Pastor Judy preached last Sunday about I am. Jesus said, "I am." When the guards came and all of those, the Pharisees, all of those who gathered to collect up Jesus when Judas betrayed Him, Jesus said, "I am." And they all fell to the ground by the power of that name. I am. It's so amazing, so powerful. Jesus is the great I am. For the lost, Jesus declares, "I am the way." For the sick, "I am your healer." For all that hunger, "I am the bread of life." For all that are thirsty, "I am the spring of living water." For the one who searches, "I am the truth." For the one in darkness, "I am the light." For the one who is filled with self-hate, "I am love." And for all of us who were condemned, "I am your salvation." Praise God. He is the great I am of my love. He is everything I need. Among the wonderful things that Jesus Christ is to man, John says that He is our advocate with the Father. And He is the propitiation of my sins. Advocate would sound like something referring to a lawyer, an attorney, someone who speaks on our behalf. And when we think of that, we think of one pleading and defending and trying to win our case. But Jesus need not plead. He just stands beside each of us before the mercy seat of God. The mercy seat of God. And says, this is one of mine. And God the Father sees us in Christ, redeemed. And it is not a hard thing for Jesus to convince the Father, because it is the Lord's desire. He is wanting that all would be saved, that all would not perish, but that all should come to repentance. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy and innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above heaven, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all. He offered up himself. Jesus is our perfect high priest. And he stands before the Father. And it is as if we have his righteousness upon ourselves, covered by the blood of the Lamb, once and for all. This is Watchman Nee's quote here, our old history ends with the cross, and our new history begins with the resurrection. What a joy, what a glorious thing. Now this propitiation, I also want to just touch on that very briefly. It certainly isn't a common household word. I really doubt we speak of propitiation in any other context, but our Savior. It is about atonement. It is about redemption. It is about paying the price. And I've heard it suggested that Jesus had to pay the price to Satan to remove us from hell. Well, that's wrong. God owes Satan nothing. It was to satisfy justice. See, Jesus came to fulfill the law, and the law we could not keep. Jesus is our propitiation. He satisfies the price for our sin, that we are redeemed by his blood. Satan has nothing to do with this. This is an interaction between us, Christ, and God. He is our propitiation. He has paid our price. What a glorious thing. What a wonderful thing our Lord Jesus has done. We sang this morning, Christ arose. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Lord, waiting the coming day. But up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever, hallelujah, with his saints to reign. This is good news. This is the glorious truth. Death cannot keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. And just as the grave could not hold Jesus, it cannot hold us. For we are his redeemed. Paid in full. Pope John Paul II said this. Do not abandon yourselves to despair. We are Easter people. That's a beautiful thought. We are Easter people. And hallelujah is our song. Isn't that glory? That is so true. Jesus even showed us that as he hung on that cross. He said these two phrases, and they don't seem to agree. They seem to be at odds with each other. Jesus cried out, Father, why have you forsaken me? And then, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Can we say God promises never to forsake us? Absolutely. But it doesn't always feel that way. So how can these two statements agree? that fit together, be said by our same Savior, our Redeemer, our propitiation. You see, even at his death, Jesus showed us how to trust the Father beyond our circumstances. You may be in that very same place in your life today, feeling like you are far from God. You haven't experienced him as of late. Your prayers seem to come up against a bronze sky and fall back to the ground. And your songs don't have the joy they once did. You just don't experience Christ Jesus as you once experienced him. And you can say to yourself, my God, why have you forsaken me? He has not. He has not forsaken you. Draw near to God, he draws near to you. Praise Jesus through those circumstances. Believe in Christ Jesus through every and any experience because he is there and he stays closer than a brother and he loves you with a perfect love and is not conditional, this love. He always loves you as much as love can be because he is love. Rejoice. Rejoice, I say. Rejoice, O Christian, for he has risen. And if you are in that place today where you feel like he is far from you, invite him to be close again. I expect on Easter Sunday he would like that very much. I expect on Easter Sunday you will experience him very much. Come see the place where the Lord lay. With joy and gladness, he does not lie there now. Weep when you see the tomb of Christ. But rejoice because it is empty. Thy sins slew him, but his divinity raised him up. Thy guilt has murdered him, but his righteousness has restored him. Oh, he has burst through the bonds of death. He hath come out more than conqueror, crushing death beneath his feet. Rejoice, O Christian, for he is not there. He is risen. These are words from Charles Spurgeon. Beautiful words. True words. We're going to sing another song today, but not for a bit. I just want to share a few of the words of that song. It's Glorious Day. Our choir is going to come forward and sing that together. There are some lines in that song that just speak so much to me. What a glorious day. The Easter Sunday is. Says it like this. Living, he loved me. Well, dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins away. Rising, he justified. Freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. They need to be one story. Of course. Whenever we do our Easter dramas and musicals, we don't stop at the cross. We certainly don't stop at the grave. We pause, and we certainly linger and consider it. But we look forward to the resurrection. But don't go there so quick. Spend time. Spend time at the cross this morning. For it was the cross that satisfied justice. It was the grave that satisfied mercy. It's resurrection. It gives us grace, the grace of God. For justice is receiving what you deserve. Mercy not receiving what you deserve. The cross was for us. Death is what we deserve for our sin. But grace, hallelujah, grace is our resurrection morning. Receiving what we do not deserve. Grace is eternity with Christ. What a glorious day. What a wonderful thing. And all of these wrapped up in his love. The story is love. And it's the most precious and beautiful love story you will ever know. Hey, Judy B., would you go get my Judy and ask her to come back so she can conduct us? Prior to that, I would like for us to dwell a moment in prayer. Lord, thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Holy God, we thank you for Easter. We thank you for our salvation. Thank you that we live a life redeemed by you. And we live eternity forward knowing that you paid the price. We have a hope and a future. Our salvation is in you. Oh, God, we thank you. Your enduring mercy, for your amazing grace, for your immeasurable love. God, we rejoice in the Easter story. And may we as Christians see Easter in everything. That we would see the resurrection in every leaf of springtime. In the newness of life all around us. You have written Easter story in your creation. We thank you for that. And Lord, if there is anyone here this morning who has never personally experienced you as Lord of their life, while every head is bowed, if there is anyone here this morning who wants to know this resurrected King, this glorious Lord, this Savior, as your personal Savior, please put up your hand and we would pray with you. If there be any, I suppose on an Easter Sunday, we're all here and we're all believers. But if there be one, I would not want that opportunity to pass us by. Praise God. If there be any who feel, as was described, that God is far from them and have found themselves saying in so many words, perhaps, Father, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? If you would acknowledge that with a raised hand, I would love to pray with you. We'll not embarrass you. We'll not ask you to come forward. I just want to pray for you and with you. If there be anyone. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that hand too. Thank you, Lord. God, you see how difficult it is to acknowledge that, to admit that, that a Christian could feel so distant from you. But I know you were right there. Lord, I pray that this Easter Sunday, they would experience you in such a profound way, such a close and vital way, that they would experience you and it'd be like fresh air. It'd be like sunshine after a long night. It'd be like spring and new life and more. God, I pray for each one who is experiencing that distance, that aloneness. It is not enough for me to just say, draw near to God. I pray, God, that they would see you and feel you and experience you. afresh this morning. We pray that. We believe that is a good thing to pray. And I know, Jesus, you agree with us. And so we ask that you would help us. And if there be any sin hindering, any doubt hindering, anything at all, that it would go to the grave right now. That it too would be gone. And it would not rise up again. For Jesus, you rose up and you're glorified. May we also experience that in our lives, that the sin would be gone and salvation alone would rise up. Holy Lord, we thank you for Easter. We thank you for salvation. And we thank you that you are near. We ask your blessing upon everything we say and do for the rest of this day. I expect we will have opportunity to be with family. Oh Lord, may we not shy away from speaking of your love and your mercy and your grace, that it would come easily to us, that we would not think it awkward, that we would be willing to feel that way. For it is a small price to pay if we could lead one sinner to salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. I would like to call the choir up again.